Praise the Lord, saints.
Hallelujah.
Amen. If you have Bibles, tablets, or phones, I ask that you turn to James, the first chapter. James, the first chapter. First chapter of James, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Verses 1 through 4. Again, reading, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you now. And Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, we ask that we hear a word from on high, Lord, that will not only convict but convince, Father. Help it to encourage us, Father. Help us to see exactly what your word is saying to us, Father, in a way in which, Lord, we can live even more for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Church, I'm going to try to take my time through this section here. It's a very... pivotal portion of scripture. When James led with this, it's interesting because he dove right in. In 1978, Walter Hawkins released a timeless gospel song, and it's titled Be Grateful. And some of the lyrics say, God has not promised me sunshine. That's not the way it's supposed to be. But a little rain mixed with God's sunshine and a little pain makes me appreciate the good times. Be grateful. Be grateful. God desires to feel your longings. Every pain that you feel, he feels them just like you. But he can't afford to let you feel only good, because then you can't appreciate the good times. Be grateful. Be grateful. You know, we agreed last week, or we stated last week that we agree, like other scholars, that James, this James here, the author, was the half-brother of Jesus. James' name in Hebrew is Jacob, right? We noted that this letter rapidly moves through subjects, right? Filled with pithy statements that are delivered with refreshing directness. James doesn't beat around the bush. The book of James is a very Jewish book, as most scholars say. Most scholars say that his intended audience were Jewish Christians, if you look at verse 1. And these Jewish Christians were dispersed throughout areas conquered by Rome. And in fact, they were dispersed, most believe, because of persecution. Scholars also believe that James, who was pastor or leader of the Jerusalem church, if you look at Acts the 15th chapter. He personally knew some of these folks that he was writing to, because they may have been fellow congregants of that same Jewish Jerusalem church. The other interesting thing is that James, if he had a relationship with them, it explains why he could be so direct with them through this book. Amen. So after dedicating one verse for an introduction, he gets right into it. He gets right into it. He and Walter Hawkins seem to be kindred spirits, because they both are telling us that God has not promised believers a bed of roses, right? There will be hard times. There will be trying moments. There will be valley lows, right? But James is not resolved and just resigned, if you will, to just have an attitude of, oh, well, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, right? He's not just resolved to say that Christians just have a bad case of Murphy's Law going on, right? Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Christians, they just have buzzard luck. We just have buzzard luck. Now, James is not going around like a spiritual Eeyore, right? Just down and out here. He's not resolved to that type of attitude. In fact, he teaches that we should grow through what we go through. Amen? But of course, this depends on your disposition. Right? It depends on your disposition. In other words, your attitude determines your actions. Right? So again, in verse 1, he goes through a brief introduction. He says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Don't let that word bondservant just flash by, because that word bondservant tells you that he is in it. He's committed. It's not in the sense of slavery as we have it in our minds. No, he's saying that I'm dedicated to God and I'm dedicated to Jesus. I am dedicated. I'm not doing this thing half-heartedly. I'm all in. I'm all in. So after his brief introduction, he jumps right into it. Right? He jumps right into it. After he's saying, a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. So what you all think about trials? How those trials treating you? What you think about those trials? What you think about them? You say they're awful? You say they stink? You don't like them? Okay, well, if that's where you're stuck, if that's the pattern that you're in, then let's find a better answer. Let's find a better way of dealing with them. So he goes on in verse 2, and he says, consider it all joy. Count it all joy, my brethren. And that means my sisters too, right? Count it all joy. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Church, I'm hoping that we can begin to appreciate what James is saying here, because he starts with consider it all joy. Before he says anything else, he starts with joy. He says, consider it all joy. Count it all joy. Regard it all joy, right? This word is also connected with lead in, lean in, if you will. Direct this situation, if you will, towards joy. Towards joy. He even has the nerve to say, command it, if you will. Esteem it, if you will, as all joy. All joy. There's no, I can't help it. And, you know, it is what it is, right? James is telling us, he's challenging us at this very starting point that we can determine how we think. You can determine how you think, right? Proverbs 4 and 23 says, watch over, we ought to watch over our hearts with all diligence. Why? For from it flows the issues of life, right? Remember, we just got out of Philippians, and Philippians, the fourth chapter, starting with the eighth verse, is saying, hey, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything is worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Dwell on these things. James is saying to us that we have a choice in terms of how we think. How we think. James is commanding that we consider joy. He's commanding us to be joyful. Intentionally choose joy. He said, I don't have any other option for you but to choose joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. That means all, don't adulterate it with anything. Don't adulterate this joy with anything. Don't try to mix this joy with anything. Don't say, I'm going to choose joy, but I'm going to put just a batch of something in it. I'm going to choose joy, and I'm going to put a pinch of depression in it. Just a pinch of depression. I'm joyful, but I'm going to put a little depression in it there. Right? I'm joyful, but I'm going to put a smidgen of anxiety in it. I'm joyful, though, but I'm going to put some anxiety in it, too. I'm joyful, but I'm going to put a hint of stress in it. Stress, anxiety, right? Depression. I'm going to put all those in it. I'm going to put a little mix in it. But I'm joyful. I'm choosing joy. But I'm going to put a little something in it. No, James says, count it all joy. That means don't put nothing else in it. Right? This thing is pure. I want pure joy here. Pure joy. Right? But James, you don't understand. You don't understand. I mean, depression is my friend. Anxiety is my buddy. You don't understand. You don't understand. Me and stress, we're besties. You don't understand, James. No, James says, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. I need to be clear. We need to be clear here. I want you to count it all joy. Now, let's be even more clear. To be more clear, there's two aspects to joy, right? There's two aspects to joy. Joy is a feeling, but joy is also an action. We're not commanded to have the feeling of joy, right? He's not commanding us to have the feeling of joy. All of a sudden, you wreck your car, and then you get out the car, and you say, oh, I wrecked my car. Hallelujah. I wrecked my car. Right? Bad news comes. Ooh, that's bad news. Ooh, that's bad news. Now, he doesn't command us to have the feeling of joy, right? Not the feeling of joy, but he's commanded us to have the action of joy, right? Have that action of joy. You know, that feeling of joy is interesting because I was once channel surfing through the religious channels, and then all of a sudden there was this church, and this brother was slaying people in the spirit of laughter. He just came by the bench and he just said, "Woof!" And all of a sudden everybody spontaneously said, and they would start laughing, and they went on the floor laughing, and he says, "Yes, yes, yes." He going over here, and he did something with his coat, and everybody just started laughing. James is not saying that. James is not saying anything like that. James is not commanding like some spontaneous emotion, but he is saying, "Hey, this action of joy." This action of joy. What is being commanded is that action of joy. You may be in a situation where you're not feeling like you know, but you know what? You better act like you know. That's what James is saying. You may not be feeling like you know, but you better act like you know. Amen? Even though the situation may be bleak and I may be not feeling joyful, I can still practice joy. Right? Because what we need to understand is that this whole concept of joy, it has its roots in salvation. It comes from salvation, amen? And it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So it's grounded in salvation. And it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, and it's rooted in the character and in the power of God. That's the joy that we have. So even though we may not feel like it at times, you know what? We can act like we know. Amen? I can still practice joy. If I'm looking through the fruit of the Spirit, I can still practice love. I can still practice joy. I can still practice peace. I can still practice patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness. Yes, even though I'm down, I can still practice gentleness and self-control. I can practice these things and I can work on these things. Even though I may not be feeling all joyful, I can still practice joy. Amen? And why can I practice joy? Because, like I said, it's rooted in God's character. I know that I can keep going on and walking in faith because why? Because just like it says in Numbers, the 23rd chapter, 19th verse, it says, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he not said and will he not do it? Has he not spoken and will he not make it good?" This thing is rooted in God. God got it. He's got it. And therefore, I can step and go ahead knowing that this thing is going to be all right. Even though I may not feel that way, guess what? I know that it's going to be all right. And I may be just acting this way. I may be still practicing these things that God wants me to practice, still living the life that he wants me to live until that emotion, until that feeling comes, right? Until that feeling comes, because even in Psalms, the 30th chapter, verses 1 through 5, it says this, "I will exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let mine enemies rejoice over me." There go that deliverance from enemies, right? "O Lord, my God," verse 2, "I cried to you for help, and you healed me." There go that healing. There go that healing. "O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You have kept me alive that I would not go down to the pit." There go salvation, right? "Sing praise to the Lord, you, his godly ones. Amen. And give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. It's but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. So although I'm just going through this life and I may be feeling down, guess what? Joy is coming in the morning. And at one point, I can give God everything that he needs, everything that he desires of me. Because then when I'm giving him everything that he desires of me, guess what? Joy will come. That feeling of joy will come. And I will just give a shout of praise to him. Amen. That's what James is saying here. Even if you're not feeling like it, you can still act like it and keep pushing on and keep moving on. And like I said, you got to appreciate what he's saying here, because he starts off with, consider it all joy, my brethren. And he leads with joy. And then he says, when you encounter various trials. Do you notice and see what he did there? He gave you the circumstances after. But first he says, choose joy. Then he follows it with the circumstance. In other words, I don't care what circumstances you're in, choose joy. And it happens in this verse to be when you encounter various trials. Encounter various trials. Of course, we can't ignore the word when, right? Because that word when is important. It's far from if. He doesn't say consider it all joy, my brethren, if you encounter various trials. No, when. They're coming. These trials, they're coming. And some Bibles say not encounter, but fall into. Now, don't interpret that as like it's an accident. Like, oops, I fell into trials. No, fall into. Fall into means that they're like almost like encompassing. They just come. And they just come. Remember Matthew's the seventh chapter? Matthew 7th chapter, verses 24, starting at verse 24, when Jesus was talking about those foundations. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, they be compared, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. You hear that? The rain fell. And it tells us, like I told you all before, this tells us that, hey, trials and tribulations, they come from every direction, right? They come from every direction. The rain fell, right? And the floods came, right? And the winds blew from left and right. They were blowing and slamming into it. They just come from every direction. It's almost like all encompassing. It just comes, and trials, like I told you all before, trials just don't come at your door as if you had an appointment and just knock and say, hey, you know, I'm coming around about 3 o'clock. Yeah, you're going to have a hard time starting at 3. No, they come. They come unannounced. They come, and they mess up your schedule. They just come, and hard times is just a part of living. It's a part of living, and they come, and sometimes it just comes. You ever had one of those days where nothing just goes right? And all of a sudden, after your car broke down and it done rained on you, and as soon as you turn the key and you break it into the door, and then you go through your door, boom, your heel just broke too. And all you want to do is just cry. It's just like everything is going wrong. Just one of those days. Just everything is going. And that's how it is at times when trials and tribulations come. And James up here talking about count it all joy. Yes. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. James is saying that all kinds of trials from all areas will come. Financial trials, social trials, right? Inward moral battles will come. Health issues will come. Family issues will come. On and on and on and on. But we still ought to count it all joy. Count it all joy. Notice that he places joy ahead of circumstances. Ahead of circumstances. Then he goes on in verse 3 and he says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Endurance, another word for endurance is patience, right? I like what words be said here. He says your outlook determines your outcome. And your attitude determines your actions. Your outlook determines your outcome. And your attitude determines your actions. See, a trial, saints, a trial is neutral. A trial that comes your way and it's neutral. God sends that trial your way, allows that trial to come your way, and it's kind of like neutral. It's neutral in a sense because it can go two ways. Depending on how your attitude, how your outlook is, it can go a way of testing or it can go a way of temptation. It depends on you. Testing is proving you. It's proving you. A faith that's not worth testing is not worth having. And God is testing you. And through his testing, what he's doing is he's actually purifying you. He's getting all of that mess out of you. And sometimes you got to go through something just to get that mess out of you. Sometimes you got to go through something to realize that you have mess. Yes, some of us don't realize that we have mess. And God puts you through something, and then all of a sudden you say, whoa, I didn't know I was that messy. Yes, you are. That's why he puts you through something to say, you need to get rid of that attitude. You need to get rid of that outlook. That's why I'm putting you through this now so that you can be more like me. So you can be more like me. Let me move that attitude out the way. You have struggles with finances. Okay, let me throw something on you here. So you can treat money better, right? Or do you have trouble with people? Okay, let me send like the person that you think is the worst person in the world your way. And you're going to deal with them. And you're going to deal with them until you love them. You're going to deal with them until you love them. That's right. Every week you're going to, Matter of fact, you guys are going to be car buddies, and we're going to give you a carpool to work. That's right. That's right. Until you get a better attitude towards them. And then all of a sudden, when you go through it and you grow through it and you learn something from it, all of a sudden you say, wow, guess who's my best friend now? Right? Who would have thought? Who would have thought, right? Faith. A faith that's not worth testing is not worth having, right? Like I told you, the word in endurance is also interpreted as patience. And this word patience, you got to get even more specific with it. Because patience can mean patience towards circumstances or patience towards people. James, more or less, was concentrating on circumstances right now. And he was saying, whatever your circumstance may be, choose joy. Choose joy. Practice joy. Act like you know. Act like you know. He goes on to say that this patience here means that God wants you to have some stick-to-itiveness. He wants you to stick to it. A lot of us want to run. We want to hide from these challenges. But God is trying to give us some stick-to-itiveness. And just like I said, when James called himself a bondservant, he said, hey, I'm committed to this. I don't care what comes my way. I am committed to this. And James is saying the same thing. We must be committed to this. Committed to this Christian life. This Christian life can't be half done. You can't just, you know, be a Christian and somebody asks you, are you a Christian? And you can say, well, kinda. No, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. And you're committed to it and you're in it. You're in it. You got that stick-to-itiveness. It implies commitment. It implies that when you're going through, that you will not only go through it, but you, in the end, you will be victorious. You will have a victorious life. It goes on to say in verse 4, it says, and let endurance or patience have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Don't try to speed things up. Let endurance have its perfect result. Some people say, I want this thing over with. And they try to speed it up. They try to speed up the process. It's just like when the doctor gives you medicine and you tired of being sick and he says, take 2 pills. You say, I'm taking 4. Because I want this thing over with. I'm tired of this respiratory thing. I'm taking 9. And you try to speed it up and you cause more harm than you do good. No, let patience, let endurance have its perfect work. Amen. Its perfect result. Because what he's doing is, as I stated, God is just bringing you through it. And he's taking you through it. There's something to learn. There's something to learn. And when you do learn it, it's over. It's over. But in the process, you got to learn it. You can't half learn it. You can't, like, go through something, then it's over, and then you're like, oh, wow, I missed a chapter. I got to go over it again. No, God is taking you through it so you can be complete. Right? Complete, perfect. What that complete and perfect is all about. You haven't met anybody perfect yet. So what is this perfect and complete about? It's about maturity. See, the goal is, just like Philippians said, the goal is to be Christ-like. And we're moving towards maturity. And we understand that we won't get there down here. But the point is that we're getting there. And that's what we need to move towards. We need to move towards being more like Christ. That perfection, that completeness that James is talking about here. That's the goal. That's the goal. But in order to reach the goal, in order to even give a valiant effort towards the goal, you got to be committed. You got to be committed. This is not a half-hearted thing that we're in. This Christian life is not something that, you know, you can live on Sunday only. No, it's got to be throughout the week. It's got to be throughout your days. And you got to develop a Christ-likeness every day of the week. Amen? And this is what James is saying here. Once again, he's putting it all together for us. And he's saying that we ought to count it all joy. Put it up there. Put it up there on that joy shelf. Count it all joy. Don't mix it up with anything. Like I said, don't adulterate this joy with anything. Count it all joy. Nothing but joy. And he's not commanding us to have a feeling of joy. But he's saying that we can have a life of joy, that action. We can practice the fruits of the Spirit even when we may be feeling down. We can still practice those fruits of the Spirit. Amen? And he's saying that trials will come from every direction, every various trials. It can come financially through social pressure. All of these things can come your way. Just like Job. Job had just trouble on every hand. And they can just come down and bear down on you, but yet and still choose joy. Choose joy. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That testing, that what you're going through, we got a faith that's worth testing. So, you know, it's interesting because I was just thinking, too. I was thinking when I was studying. I said, wow, you know, for a long time, my kids and I, we served the same God, but we served different God. We served the same God, but we served a different God. And what I'm going through and what I'm trying to tell you is this, is that at the age in which I'm a parent and I'm providing for children and God is showing me who he is by protecting my family and providing for my family. See, my kids didn't know God like that. They didn't have that understanding. They didn't have that level of understanding. So all of a sudden, the things that I can appreciate, they couldn't appreciate yet. They just knew that they had Lunchables. Right? They knew that they had toaster strudels and stuff like that going on. And when they open the refrigerator, they can say, oh, she got toaster strudels. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Right? Oh, we got those Eggo waffles. Yes, thank you, Lord. See, and I was on a different level. I was like, I got a gas bill due. And a light bill too. Telephone disconnect. Waiting for a next paycheck. I knew a different God. I had a different God. Right? But oh, what joy. What joy it is to see Jalen as a parent. Oh my goodness. When he has three little ones. And they wake up saying, I want Eggos. I want those breakfast sandwiches, Daddy. And they just open it up and they say, oh, thank you, Jesus, we got Eggos. And Jalen is now saying, I got a light bill due. And a gas bill, too. Telephone disconnect, Daddy. And I'm waiting for my next paycheck. And I'm like, didn't he work it out? Did he work it out, Jalen? And then Jalen can dance with me. Gave it over to the Lord, and he works. He's doing the same dance that I'm doing now. Because we're serving the same God. And that's what this thing is about. As we go through things, as we go through things, we see God in a different way. We see God through a different lens, if you will. Because these trials and these tribulations come our way, if we have the right attitude, all of a sudden we see a different God. Because we see him all of a sudden even more high and lifted up. And we see him where he ought to be in our lives. That's why these trials are so precious. Yes, they're tough. Yes, they're tough. Yes, they're hard to go through. Yes, not having peace in the family. Yes, yes. But then all of a sudden, when it's all over, and when it's all said and done, and God will put you in a place where he gets the glory, because he's saying that all these things that you're going through is for your good. It's not saying everything that you go through is good, but the reason why you're going through it is for your good. And that's what this is all about. God is making you better. He's making you better. He's making you better. Yes, you're going through the fire, but he's purifying you and making you better. Count it all joy, my brethren. When you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Amen? God bless you, saints. And as always, this text applies to brethren. He starts off saying, count it all joy, my brethren. And here's an opportunity to be just that. Here's an opportunity to be just that. Here's an opportunity to have a relationship with Christ, to come into his family, to come into his fold, to be called one of his own, to no longer have that disconnect anymore. But he is your father. He is your all in all. See, he needs to be not only your savior, but also your Lord. Your Savior and your Lord. And what an opportunity now that you have. You have an opportunity today to choose ye this day Christ. Because here's a question that everyone will have to deal with. What did you do with Jesus? When you were offered Christ, what did you do with it? Did you accept or did you reject? I'm praying that you choose him today. He'll save you. But also, not only your Savior he needs to be, but he also needs to be your Lord. Because there's a life to live after this. After that decision as him being your Savior, you got a life to live. And James says this life won't be a bed of roses. No. But I tell you what, it'll be sweeter as the days go by. Try Christ. Try Christ. We'll have elders available here in front after dismissal. And I pray that you do not leave without carefully considering, where will you stand with Jesus? Please choose him today. Today. Last thing is that, as I always tell you too, the Spirit is saying today. But the devil is saying tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised. Choose him today. Amen. If I have Elder McElwee dismisses, God bless you.